Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Globalport Holdings conference call regarding its IPO process. Dear speakers, please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, this is Saygın Narin, the CEO of the company, and the full Globalport management is here. As you are aware, we were contemplating an IPO, and for the last 1 month, we were on the road. Unfortunately, as of Monday this week, we had to pull the IPO process out. We have issued a release concerning the reasons of this pull-out, and we also want to answer any questions you might have as regards to the reasons of the pull-out or the future strategy of Globalport, any implications of the pull-out of IPO to the strategy of the Globalport. We are happy to take questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Please lift your handset before you ask your question. Thank you for holding until we have the first question. Our first question from Alex Yannis from PIMCO. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. So just to clarify, based on the information we've received, released by you, is that the IPO was pulled due to overall choppy market conditions, perhaps that's correlated to the upcoming election. It was not due to anything company-specific, such as any performance issues of the company. Is that correct?
That is correct indeed. Completely market and demand and supply related.
Okay, and so...
As a matter of fact, just to add on, even the bring down due diligence was finished last night, Friday night.
Okay, and so after the election, if the market quiets down, would you reconsider doing an IPO, assuming you haven't gone the private equity route?
This is a question which is addressed to the Globalport, but mostly Global Investment Holdings. In lieu of the weak capital market status of Turkish capital markets, the investment holding is seriously considering whether to use Turkish capital markets activities ever again. So an IPO definitely is not on the table for an Istanbul listing in the foreseeable future.
Okay, so you're forgetting about the IPO for the foreseeable future, I see.
No, that's not what I said. I said an IPO with an Istanbul listing is out of the table in the foreseeable future.
I'm sorry, bear with me, I can't hear you clearly, sir. Could you repeat that? An IPO that is what is out of the picture?
An IPO with Istanbul listing is out of the table in the foreseeable future. But that doesn't necessarily mean an IPO in a foreign jurisdiction is not out of the table.
Okay, thank you. That's for that clarification. Is a bond issuance, another bond issuance, something that's a possibility in the near future?
It's out of question.
Out of the question, so that would be a no. Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Our next question from Nicolas Valesi from Pictet. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. Just to follow up on the previous question, so you're saying that you did not move forward with the IPO because of the market conditions, but the press release points specifically to the size of the IPO, and so is it really the market conditions, or is it intrinsically just the size of the transaction that made it challenging in any market conditions? Because I haven't really followed the local market conditions, but I was not aware of particularly choppy conditions recently.
I think it's a mixture of both. To make it very clear and to be very, very transparent, like we have been from day one, the local demand as of Friday night was only 60% subscribed, of which one of it was one single order from a fund management company called Istanbul Portföy, was approximately 32% of the local demand. Then, subsequently, upon the return of the management, they had discussions with relevant Turkish underwriter CEOs, and the Turkish banks were willing to underwrite for the remaining. That, of course, impacted the international tranche, which was not heavily oversubscribed like it should be in a normal equity offering coming out from anywhere from 2 to 5%. The international demand was oversubscribed, if you exclude EBRD, about 1.4 times, which is not an enough demand. As a result, the underwriters did not feel comfortable of the trading of the stock post listing, and they recommended us, the company is an extremely good company with solid numbers performing, therefore we should not proceed with the IPO, and we as the board have decided not to proceed upon their recommendation.
Okay, and so your advisors feel that the company would be best suited to another exchange, another market for an IPO?
That is correct.
And so does it mean that you're continuing your IPO process but considering another exchange at the moment?
No, on time being, no. You have to understand that an IPO which has been put, regardless of the exchange, you cannot proceed with another venue that quickly. And certainly it will be a better opportunity to basically deliver a couple of the things which was offered, which was basically promoted and promised during the roadshow, vis-a-vis new acquisitions and other things. Therefore, to proceed with an international venue once at least some of those acquisitions have formalized.
Okay, so in terms of timing for you to consider an IPO on another venue other than Istanbul, what sort of time frame do you have in mind? Is it a year and a half or so?
Well, I would define it as at least 1 year.
Okay. Can you tell us any costs that that are arising from the IPO process that you followed to date?
Certainly, it's not material at all. The total cost is only the legal fees, some accounting fees, and travel expenses. The overall of it should be very minimal amounts, definitely not a material cost.
Okay, and can you perhaps give a bit more color in terms of amount, like?
It should be between one and a half million at most.
Not even one and a half.
Yeah, excluding any discounts we would require from the lawyers.
We're getting 30% discount from the lawyers. So I think it should be pretty much close to 1 million, maybe even less, because the lawyers were paying 30% less because the deal didn't close. Then there's auditing. I don't know how much we're paying, but I'm sure we will get a discount there. And the rest is travel expenses, which probably should be no more than 50 to 100,000.
You could say it a million roughly.
Yeah, million max.
In dollars.
American dollars, yes.
Okay. And those costs are borne by whom? By Global Ports or by the parent company?
It will be borne proportionally by the primary, secondary proportion. So
two-third GPH, one-third GIH.
Yeah.
Okay. In the press release, you also mentioned that you would intend to continue discussions with some of the long-term investors that were interested in the IPO. Is your intention, if you don't pursue another IPO in another venue, to raise equity on a project basis, or would you also consider perhaps selling a strategic stake in the company to one or more investors? And if so, are you actually pursuing these sort of discussions at the moment?
First, I wouldn't define them as strategic investors because there's no strategic investor in this area. I would define them as private equity investors or supranationals like EBRD. We have been approached by six of them, to be exact, since Monday morning. No decision has been made as to whether to proceed or not at this stage. We would like to have the dust settled before we decide on anything.
I see. Okay. And you also mentioned in the press release that you could also access the debt market. What sort of maximum leverage limit do you give yourself in raising debt for future transactions, please?
The debt markets, just to make it clear, will be at project company acquisition level, not at GPH level, which basically, assuming this is a bond conference, are restricted companies. They will not be part of the portfolio. But I'm going to leave to my colleague, Jan von Ferrer, who is here to give more color into it.
Yes, just to confirm, for the acquisition pipeline, in the immediate future, we are contemplating to local debt market, project finance debt, bank debt, basically.
Okay, and but on a consolidated basis, do you consider that there is a maximum leverage level that you wouldn't go beyond?
Two things to distinguish. One is the legal or covenant part of the answer, and of course we will be strictly adhering to the 5x gross debt covenant set in the bond. But the management target, I think it has been explained before, is based on net debt basis and would be significantly below that.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
Our next question from Mark Baker from ADM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for taking the question. Could you explain why your bonds are trading at distressed levels? For a company that issued this bond in November and for it now to be trading with an 8 handle, it just doesn't make sense to me. The pulling of the IPO also doesn't make sense. If you're on the road, you know, for a month, I'm surprised that you weren't aware that the demand wasn't sufficient up until literally the morning thereof. So it would just be very helpful to try and, you know, to try and explain what's really going on at the grassroots, and has the market just misperceived the company? And as I said, and why are the bonds down, 12, 13 points since November? Thank you.
Jan Saigon, who wants to answer this question? This is ADM Capital, who is shareholder with SCFA, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. That was Mehmet Gutman, by the way. I'm going to let Jan or Saigon answer this question.
Okay. We did discuss this through an email as well. The thing is, we don't believe there is a structural reason or fundamental reason that these bonds should trade at this level. 8.15, at the time it was high, but it was a little bit surprised by our rating, which takes into consideration that we are a Turkish domiciled company. We weren't fully comfortable with that rate at the time, but we were certainly not expecting the bonds to trade anything worse than that. However, in our belief, the order book, whatever you call it, the book for the bond was in a way big in the sense that there were a couple of big holders and a couple of small holders who wanted to trade, and resulted into this, in our view, not explainable situation. And I think this is very much related to our cancelling of the IPO as well. I mean, we were close to, the banks warned us and made a strong recommendation that the aftermarket impact of the issue might be a similar story to the bonds. And in Turkish, we have a saying, like yordu, how do you say that? Anyway, we were over cautious with the
with the stock as well. We didn't want an order book which could resemble the bond order book. So without any fundamental reason, or order or stocks could trade below the par value. I mean, this is the story what happened over the couple of weeks. If there are any technical details, I would leave it to Jan if you want to add anything.
No, I think it was all covered. Just to confirm, I think that it's more probably driven by demand and supply patterns which are outside our control. Certainly, as Sagan has explained, no structural reason, no reason in the company performance that the bond should trade where it trades.
Okay. So the fundamentals on the ground are still strong?
I mean, the fundamentals can only be proven by the numbers itself. We did mention this during the IPO process. This is Mehmet Gutman. The EBITDA number for the first quarter is exactly the same as the budget. Sorry, 100,000 or 150,000 less than the budget. It's up 30%. On a pro forma basis, it's the same 150,000, 8.4 versus 8.254 million. Although the volume for Antalya is down by 8-9%, the overall container volume is down by less than that, around 5-6%, because Montenegro is up. So everything is exactly the same. As a matter of fact, it's getting better. April has been better. May also is much better. So, you know, we cannot, unfortunately, control the trading volume, trading what's happening there. We like to not to interfere as a holding into the capital markets activity as well. But certainly, what like my colleague Saigon said, capital markets is an activity which we're going to think twice before proceeding.
I much appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark.
Our next question from Andrew Wodiensko, Ice Canyon. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for taking the questions. The first question on the EBRD, I know you said some of the other investors who had approached you, you were thinking to hold off. I guess the press release seemed to imply that the EBRD may still be going ahead. Can you comment on that process, and if there is any clarity in terms of when the funding may come in?
EBRD want to proceed. If we accept to proceed with EBRD, and that's if we accept, that should happen by July. But so far, the board has not convened yet to discuss any other alternative at this stage.
Okay. Next question, does the canceling of the IPO, does that affect or change the plans or the timing of the plans of the company in terms of some of the acquisitions it was looking to do or any of the other projects that it had in the pipeline?
No, it doesn't at all. As a matter of fact, there will be some pipeline news coming probably very soon vis-a-vis some acquisitions which were supposed to be released Monday or Tuesday morning post the offering or post the closing, which we postponed because of this. No, there's absolutely no change of plans.
Okay. And I guess the funding, from the funding side, the fact that you were relying on equity coming in, Is there any stopgap measure?
That's a very good question. I think the difference between post-IPO, with IPO or without IPO, is completely what I call sweat, human sweat. In the IPO case, the things were easy. You had money in your safe. You go sign the check and acquire, and then work a little bit, not much even, to try to refinance it. Now it's going to be the opposite. The financing has to be in the pocket pre-acquisition, and all those projects being as profitable as they are, local bank financing is certainly available at project company level.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have no other questions. Dear speakers, back to you for the conclusion.
Sorry, we couldn't get the question.
Conclusion. Let me conclude. Some of you might know me for quite a long time. I'm mostly a blunt speaker and a very transparent guy. This IPO process, we embarked on something full-heartedly, frankly. We all worked very hard. A little bit let down that it didn't happen, but as I mentioned, there's a blessing in disguise, because it's a company which is growing its EBITDA by single digit as is, and inorganically it has the capacity to grow its EBITDA quite substantially. So I do personally consider this as a blessing in disguise. We are certainly, and we will, look at all the opportunities moving forward, because of the holding's final structure being the most important and relevant thing for me, i.e. all the subsidiaries being governed independently from the holding moving forward. Therefore, the work will be done, but the jurisdiction doesn't necessarily have to be, as I mentioned, in Istanbul. Having said that, we would like to thank all our bondholders, right? All our bondholders for their support so far, and we'll keep you abreast of any development immediately. Thank you very much. Saygın Bey, do you want to add something?
Nothing to add, thank you.
Can Bey, Alpak Bey,
no.
Anything? Yok, okay. Thank you very much. Operator.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.